warmed up with vanilla ice cream.
Oh my god,
I love it. Well, you should have just put mashed potatoes on it. It would just been like,
and maybe do the twist.
We're live, by the way.
Yeah, you caught that quicker than ever.
Guys, I hope they got my mashed potatoes on apple pie thing, and I hope that's
gross. That may be the most disgusting thing we've ever said in like 7,000 episodes of this podcast.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up?
You's a bitch.
You's a bitch. Hey, Matt.
What?
Where were you last week?
I was at a place called E-Trizzle.
No, it's not called that. Let's call it by its actual name. E3.
You're right. I'm sorry. The Electronic Entertainment X-Bizzle.
Oh, I just want to strangle you. I can't reach through the monitor yet.
It is made him awfully cavalier that we can't reach him with our hands.
I know. Haven't you noticed?
I would love to smack him.
Anyway, yeah, we didn't do a show because you were at E3.
I was at E-Trizzle.
And we decided to wait until you were back from E3 so we could handle all this crap in one shot.
Exactly. You know, it makes me sad because we were going to have the NPD numbers for May, but they got delayed a day. So they don't come out till tomorrow, so we'll have to talk about that next week. But you know what,
Matt? We've got millions of things to talk about.
Yeah, we do. Okay.
So how do you want to do this? You want to talk about conference? You want to talk about games?
We're going to go down conferences. And now, quick question. Before we jump into...
How do you want to do this? You want to talk about conference? You want to talk about games?
So, Chris, my question is... Do you want to knock out any comic news that there is so that the rest of the show can be dedicated to gaming?
Not really. There's a couple of things, but nothing is bigger than E3.
Well, I will say one thing's big enough. Disney upped their game, and Fox accepted their bid, so Comcast has been boxed out. Fox is now going to Disney.
Yeah, 71.5, I believe.
Yeah, stock options.
It seemed like Comcast was just kind of throwing it out there because it was all cash and no stock.
Yeah, they were trying real hard.
Yeah. But you don't get taxed on stock. You get taxed on cash.
Yep. Yeah.
So, womp womp. Anyway, that's the big news for comics. But I can't
decide which Monopoly I would have hated worse.
Comcast
getting into another branch, I think, is worse than Disney having its own characters back.
That's what I'm saying. Of course, it's not great that Disney now owns another piece of entertainment, like major milestone of entertainment, but at least the ramifications of that work better for us as fans and consumers, because whatever streaming service they launch means it'll all be on one unified service, and
it's probably all the
generations will be able to enjoy those characters at Disney World.
They are the only competitor to Netflix that is going to matter, because they're actually going to have so much content from so much time. I wonder if there's going to be like a separation of kids versus not kids stuff, because they own a lot of companies that did like Miramax in the 90s.
Yeah,
they
I would think Miramax. So.
All I want is for them to finally put all their TV shows on streaming so I can watch them at any time.
Yeah. Also, I'm hoping that when they finally consolidate, whatever shows they have don't have this not interaction thing going on.
Yeah.
Just let it all fucking, you know, go back and forth. Let Cloak and Dagger meet the Runaways, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So E3, baby.
E3.
Let's just go in order of what happened. I've pulled up the summary of all the news from E3. All the news.
Okay.
And then I thought I would talk about the specific games I played and experienced at E3 and kind of like break down what my top stuff is.
All right. Okay, because you actually got a chance to play stuff.
I got to play a lot of stuff. And I got to see a lot of behind the closed doors, press only stuff. And here's a little tidbit. Cyberpunk 2077 went from the day Microsoft conference showed the debut trailer. I was like, actually really disappointed. I was let down. I was like, this is not what I was hoping for. It didn't fit the vibe of that initial long trailer. It seemed very colorful and happy. And then they dropped the first-person perspective announcement, and I was like, oh, why don't you just make another Deus Ex at that point? And then I saw the behind-the-scenes demo, and it was an hour-long demo. Like, it was meaty. They showed off all the different systems. They went through an entire plot mission and showed off how so much of the game works. And I walked out of there doing the biggest 180. I went from, oh, man, Cyberpunk, like, what's going on, to holy shit, I need it in my veins. I can't wait to talk about it. And people wonder, you know, like, why don't they show this to the public? Why is it behind closed doors? Because it was very pre-alpha, and there was a lot of, like, graphical hiccups and issues that press no going in, and, you know, we disregard that. But can you imagine if that was released to the internet with all the glitches?
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah. Everybody's
they'd be like, City Project Red is the worst. Like, oh, my God. And then it'll just be, like, 6 years of hot takes before the game came out.
Yeah.
So that's why they keep it behind closed doors. So that we can report all like the functions and the systems and what the game's about, and not like, oh, at this one point there was a graphical glitch.
Yeah. I don't know. That trailer was I felt it was amazing.
Dude.
If you
like that trailer, then when you see what I've seen, you will shit a brick of
I get what he's saying though, because the previous teasers have been very dark and noirish.
Yeah.
Right.
And this one felt like, you know, like a Warhammer 50K sort of trailer. Like it was lighthearted in its, you know, playing with the tropes, but didn't
feel like a Grand Theft Auto trailer. Like how they first debut a Grand Theft Auto, like showing the different parts around the city.
Yeah, the first ones felt like Blade Runner. The new trailer felt like GTA in the future. And so I was a little apprehensive because I've been looking forward to this game really hard. And then like, I was like, I don't know. I don't want to just be one dude, first of all. I want to be able to make that guy into whatever the fuck I want. And I don't like the way it's like being too lighthearted about what I know is going to be grim circumstances.
Yeah.
But then I talked to Matt, like we were texting back and forth, and he eased my mind. He was like, it's like a game changer. And I was like, oh, I'm fucking angry.
Yeah, no, like I really, truly believe when this game comes out, it will be the genre game changer that GTA 3 was when it came out on the PS2. Like nothing was the same after that game came out.
Yeah.
That's what Cyberpunk
is. It was going to be a mix of tones too, because you have the branching missions the way Witcher did.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a part of it. I'm wondering if there's going to be like funny missions and then really dark ones.
Oh, like 100%.
That.
Yeah.
This is a contrast trailer, basically.
Look, yeah. I mean, I don't want to. I guess I'll just keep going. Chris, if you have questions on Cyberpunk, let me know. I'll do my best to answer them. One of the coolest, like, they kept showing these small things that help make the city feel real and in the future. One of the things is if you're walking around and you see an advertisement, like in game, like the example they show is you're walking down in the slums, like you're leaving your mega building, like think Judge Dredd, the movie Dredd.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. And what's cool is they're all explorable. Like, vertically, everything. It's insane. And you leave and you see this advertisement pan out for, I guess, like a soda, right? Like a future soda. And if you interact with it, suddenly, just like now, targeted ads start appearing around you.
Yeah.
Your HUD will, like, show you how to find that item, like where the vendors are for it. And it's kind of – and what I think the craziest thing that – the mission you went on was you were trying to recover you were hired to rescue somebody that was kidnapped and being harvested for her parts. She's a very rich person, so she had very expensive mods in her body. And she was kidnapped by scavengers. And when you find her, you remove the blocking thing that was blocking her signal, and you signal an SOS, and her insurance company – like arrives in the slums in less than 3 minutes, and all of the insurance companies in the future are militarized, private military corporations, and they only cater to the rich. And when you bring out the body, like they come down in a drop ship and they're fully decked out, like looking like they came out of Halo, and they like step away from the what's the
merchandise?
No, they didn't refer to it as merchandise. She had like a code number, and like her health was their priority, but only because she was really rich. Mm-hmm. And that the corporations are being poised to be like the big bad of the game is what they said. Like one of the missions you had, one of the branching parts.
Cyberpunk,
yeah,
whatever,
exactly.
1999.
So like we realize that health insurance and everything like that is only available to the rich, and they're treated like private military and it was a fascinating interaction with your character. And then you do this mission, and one of the things you can do is, like, a corporation's transport got hijacked and kidnapped by a gang, and you're hired by a rival gang to steal some of that merchandise for him. But you can contact the corporation itself and kind of leverage them, blackmail them, kind of to be like, I know where your merch is, pay me and I'll go get it for you. And that's the route they went. And you can do the encounter entirely through dialogue choices. You can stealth your way through it. They showed the different ways you can combat through it, the hacking mechanics. They unlocked a dev hack to show what a late game build would do, like your abilities at the end game and all the cool stuff you could do, whether it was shotguns that can pulse through cover or bullets that track enemies and you can shoot around the corner. There was a ricochet mod that lets you line up shots and curve them around, like straight out of the comic book Wanted. They showed how you could link up with little bots and robots that all have their different mechanics and everything. They showed the arm blade mods and how you could actually use them to scale walls and then like pounce on people predator style. Oh my God, the amount of customization and options in this game. And there's a stat called street cred that you raise by doing side quests and stuff, and that unlocks bonuses and assets throughout. And your choices and missions have consequences. One thing that they show is after we kind of shit all over this gang to get the merchandise back for the corporation, as we were driving, remnants of the gang would pull up and try and do a drive-by, or they'll try and put a bomb under your car if they find it for you, and you have to scan for something. Oh, it was fascinating. Everything about the game.
That has consequences. That's great. Like that choice, and then having to be your enemy, basically. Do you think, is this going to have story, or is it just going to be a fully explorable world?
Oh, no. They were very adamant about how strong the core story will be.
Okay. Because, I'm interested in the story, but I'm also kind of fine with something that wasn't RPG.
Like, again, think of it like The Witcher.
Explorable world, you know?
Your choices in your side quests and your main story in The Witcher might have changed who, say, was there to help defend the castle from the forces at the end, or who you interacted with towards the end game, but the end result is still like that, and then you had multiple endings based on your decisions. So that's what they're going for, but to a much greater degree.
Okay.
That sounds awesome.
That sounds awesome. That's
everything. Anything, Chris? You've been very silent.
My only question really, because we got a lot of information and I don't want to be too spoiled on what it has. But the question was in early. I'm getting an echo. Is anyone else getting an echo?
No.
You sound like the luckiest man on the face.
Yeah. I'm not getting an echo. What's up?
All right. So anyway, they talked to, like, I guess in the early build about like a black market mod for language, and because it was black market, it was not complete. Do they still have stuff like that in the game?
Not that I saw, but they didn't say that had changed. Okay. There were lots of dialects available, and the mods that they showed, like in the early game, was an ocular mod and a wrist-mounted mod. But just like, think of it like the original Mass Effect, where your equipment was not only based on type, but also the company that made it.
Uh-huh.
And so you can have brands that interact, that synergize better in your body if you get all the same type versus just kind of going hodgepodge with it. And then, of course, you have equipment, like your coat and stuff has its own stats and the what you wear. Oh, there's so many RPG mechanics all over this game. It's good stuff. But back to the E3.
Wasn't that the E3, though?
That was Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk is... Cyberpunk was hands down the best non-playable game at the show.
Yeah, you just get to watch them play it, right? The demo.
Yes, but it was running in real time. It was running on a PC, but they are still adamant that they're targeting current gen systems. But I would much rather bank on it actually being a next gen launch game, kind of like how Witcher 3 was, like that launch window.
I'll probably get the PC version because, as far as I know, it's an Xbox thing or something, right?
No, it's for
OB. It's for PS4.
Yeah, it's everything. PS4. Microsoft has the marketing rights, but just like Witcher.
Yeah, that's right.
They have marketing rights.
Okay, but, going on to the actual conferences, because you guys watched them, so you can join in. I'm gonna go row by row what was all shown. Okay.
Okay.
So we're gonna start with EA, who once again had a very lackluster conference. So.
It was
Battlefield 5 was had a cinematic trailer, and they confirmed that there will be a battle royale mode. Shocking nobody.
Yeah, it was like 6 minutes before the first battle royale thing got announced.
Yeah. Fantastic.
It was like real quick. Now here's the thing: I actually would prefer Battlefield 5s over Call of Duties, because we actually got to play a 64-man game of Battlefield. And it was a lot of fun. I suck, but it was a lot of fun.
Cool.
And after that, we got some FIFA. Who cares? Caitlin's knees look like a butt on the stream.
Well, it could be worse.
I sent you a screenshot, too.
Oh, you did? Oh, I'm so happy. Hold on. Yes, it does.
It's making me giggle. You were not supposed to read that, though.
I know, but that's what made it fun. Okay, anyway.
Continue.
Here's the thing that killed me about EA's conference is that, remember that one year where all they did was like, here's some behind the scenes stuff and some concept art. We've got a game coming out.
Yeah, Star Wars.
They didn't even do that this time. They sat down in the audience and was like, hey, I heard you're working on a Star Wars game. Yep, it's called The Fallen Order. Cool. Thanks. Not even a title screen. Like, it's literally just, here's the name of our game. We literally have nothing to show for it. See you in 6 years.
I can't believe they had the audacity to do that again.
I cannot believe. Now, they also did a surprise, one of the patented and it's available now things, and I don't think anyone saw this coming. The sequel to Unravel, Unravel 2, dropped that day.
That was a very pleasant surprise.
It was, especially because it was the gentleman that everyone fell in love with last time, who held his little yarny and kind of had a panic attack on stage, and everyone loved him for it. He was back. Good for him.
He was back having another panic attack. I don't know why they do that.
It's fine.
Yeah.
After that, I think the big news was their new indie game called Sea of Solitude, which was probably the most well-received thing that they showed at the entire conference for them.
That was really interesting.
It's an adventure game that focuses on emotions. The biggest WTF one is they revived Command & Conquer, but as a mobile PvP game. And it actually was pretty fun. Not what I wanted in a Command & Conquer game, but I hope it's successful, make some money so that they can afford to revive the series proper. And then finally,
I figured you would be pretty bummed because you are a big Command and Conquer head, but
I wouldn't say bummed. It's not what I wanted, but I played it because I wanted to give it a fair shake because it is Command and Conquer. And what it was actually really solid and a lot of fun, but it's just not what I wanted. So womp womp.
Yeah.
Hey.
Is for the children. Finally, they showed off some Anthem, and it sure is a game.
I will say that I think this EA video did nothing for it because it was all backloaded to something else.
Yeah,
but
my big problem. What's up?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'll say my Anthem for me was the anti cyberpunk, like, because they also had a behind closed doors demo of Anthem, and it was just didn't do anything for me. Like, all the story and characters and everything that you know BioWare for is gone. Like, there are no relationships in the game. You have no teammates. You have no squad mates. It's all just Destiny-style shared world co-op.
That furthers my theory that this is the parts that were supposed to be in Andromeda. and they just ported it over. So Andromeda kept all the relationships and the characters and the story because they couldn't change that quick enough. And then you kept most of the mechanics that were in the exploration that would have been in the game that would have satisfied the rest of the gameplay. And they just moved that all the way over and turned it, changed
my
it.
Theory is that Anthem was greenlit right during the height of Destiny. This is like,
yeah.
Rise. And then since then, they've spent so long, like, the world has cooled on Destiny, and Destiny 2 is underperforming. But now BioWare's entire future is entwined in this. And if it bombs, we're never getting a Dragon Age 4. Like, EA is going to do to them what they've done to so many other studios and just kind of like toss them.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Chris, what were you saying?
I was saying that, what was I saying? We also have to mention the thing that EA announced that was not game related. It was really an Origin Premier service.
Yes.
To kind of provide access to stuff before retail and cloud gaming and all that other stuff that you want them to say.
It's $100 a year. It's PC only, but it includes full retail games as they launch. So you get Battlefield 5, Anthem, FIFA, all those at launch. Big news for PC gamers, though, is Madden's coming back to Steam for the or Origins for the first time in like a decade. So. Yeah. Cool for them.
And it's gonna have like a vault of like 100 something games.
Yeah. All right. Moving on though, because
Matt, you forgot to mention if you are somehow still playing Battlefront 2, there's Clone Wars content, baby.
Oh yeah.
You can play as General Grievous and Obi-Wan and Count Dooku and Anakin and yeah, all of them. Isn't that cool?
Womp womp.
All right, well, whatever. Fuck me, I guess.
I mean, Chris, did you ever play it? Do you play it?
No. God
exactly. No. So it's a womp womp scenario.
It's still neat that they're at least trying.
It is.
They did come out and say...
Don't get me wrong. I did like how they came out and literally apologized.
They did say we fucked up on Battlefront, but they also were like, sorry. Yeah, but we don't. We're kind of sorry.
Sorry.
Chris, next up was probably hands down the best conference, like the best show, was Microsoft's. Yeah.
I agree. It was the most traditional conference, and they announced a ton of stuff.
They really did. And even though the majority of those games will be playable by all gamers, as a show, and especially being there in person, sitting in the audience, like that experience was second to none.
We've got a screenshot of you there.
We do. I am there. So first up, they announced Halo Infinite, which was less of a game and more of a tech showcase. It is most likely that Halo will be the next Halo game will be a next gen experience because all it was them showing off their new tech.
The only thing of interest for Halo Infinite is that it looked very similar to the original Macworld demo of Halo that came out years ago with its kind of squad-based.
Yeah.
But this is literally nothing. This is just kind of vapor.
It's a name, and it's an engine demo.
It's cool, but it's nothing.
Right. After that, the best game of Xbox's entire show was shown off. The trailer for Ori and the Will of the Wisps, the greatest upcoming Xbox game, and if you don't agree, you sir can go straight to hell.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
Wow, that's a.
Have you seen the trailer for the new Ori game, Josh?
Yeah, it looks really good.
It really does.
I was just saying, like, man, you're going straight to hell just because they don't agree.
And
it's like
it plays really good too. They had a huge demo station for Ori because you can tell that it's going to be a big game for them. It adds a lot of new combat options. There's a new movement mechanic. And just they even have their own Resident Evil 4 like vendor. He opens up his coat, and I just want to gift that with someone going, what are you buying?
Nah.
Resident Evil 6.
Yeah, I
guess. After that, From Software came out of nowhere to announce their next game that is not a Souls game. They stress to you, there are no classes, there are no stats, there are no builds. It is an action RPG set in like an Onimusha style, Neo style world, and it's called Shadows Die Twice, Sekiro.
It looked neat. But I don't care for Souls games, so it doesn't do a lot for me.
Well, it's good thing, Chris, because that's not a Souls game. I literally just said that.
Well, you know what? It might as well be.
I'm liking the push to Samurai games. I'm really excited that we had three Samurai games announced at this E3.
Yeah, which one was the one you sent me a link to?
Ghost of
Tsushima.
Yes, oh my God.
What was the third one? Sekiro, Ghost of Tsushima?
Neo 2?
Oh yeah, Neo 2.
Which I called in the last video?
You did not!
Yes, I did!
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Deliberately.
Verify that.
That's what I actually literally don't recall, but I don't think anyone legitimately expected that one. That was one of the few huge surprises of E3.
That was a happy surprise.
So then we got a Fallout 76 trailer, but no one cares about that game.
Well, we figured out some more about it, and it's not quite what everyone was expecting.
No.
The people that made Life is Strange's new game, Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit. It's going to be a free-to-play game following a young boy in his imagination. It definitely felt the most out of place of all the games.
Can I tell you that I have like a visceral hatred for this trailer?
Why?
I don't know that I could 100% explain it.
Chris,
but I see that trailer and I'm like, fuck that kid.
Everybody go watch the trailer and think how much Chris hates it.
I hate it. And I don't know why. There's something about it that I just kind of hate. Right. It's also the prequel for Life is Strange 2.
Is it? So,
yeah. They announced it's part of the Life is Strange verse.
Huh.
And it'll be kind of the prequel for 2.
Interesting. Okay.
If you happen to play Life is Strange, which I didn't.
You should. It's good. Chris, it uses the word hella a lot.
I balked at the...
Oh, my God. Kogasu in chat just said, what I'm hearing is Chris says, I hate children and all of their dreams.
I mean, if that's what you're hearing, I'm not going to dispute it because I don't like children or their dreams.
Oh, my God.
You're awful.
I'm delightful.
You want to know what the actual most disappointing trailer of E3 was?
I know exactly what you're going to say. It's Crackdown 3.
It's Crackdown 3. The game that I honestly expect that, okay, there's a reason they haven't canceled this yet, and it's because coming off of the Scalebound and Fable Legends cancellations, Microsoft couldn't afford the PR nightmare of canceling another high-profile exclusive. So they're literally just sending this game off to die now. Because they're releasing it the same day as Anthem, Metro Exodus, and Days Gone. Wow. It's coming out on the same day as three other AAA games, and it's not looking good. It was not playable on the floor. There was no behind-the-scenes look at it. The game is in rough shape. A report just came out today that the original creator and the original teams working on it have both quit the project. There are now four separate studios working on Crackdown 3. Let me tell you, when was the last time a piece of media came out great after multiple companies have had to work on it? That looked good. Go watch the trailer again. It's literally just them trying to distract you with Terry Crews.
And you know what? It worked because I do love Terry Crews.
Oh, he's great.
Very good distraction.
So then we got Metro Exodus gameplay, the first of 17,000 Kingdom Hearts 3 trailers.
They were all subtly different. That was the most obnoxious thing.
Sea of Thieves got a DLC trailer. They announced Forza Horizon 4 with the cool new seasons mechanic where every week the in-game will change a season and it'll change everything up for you.
And it's in Britain.
It is in Britain. Xbox announced that they bought four different studios, and they created a fifth one. So that they now can start pumping out more first-party games instead of only relying on Halo, Gears, and Forza.
That's good for them.
So they bought Undead Labs, the people that made State of Decay. They officially bought Playground Games, the people that make Forza Horizon. They bought Compulsion Games, the creators of We Happy Few. And the biggest shock was they bought Ninja Theory, the people that made Hellblade. So their games will now be Xbox exclusive going forward.
Okay.
Did not see that one coming.
This was a good placement in the middle of their conference for them to be like, hey, this is what we've got for the future.
Yeah. They had a new We Happy Few trailer. Bandai announced Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition is coming to Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch. We got a gameplay demo of Division 2.
Oh, yeah. They made fun of this girl for being one level under.
Yeah. We got a Shadow of the Tomb Raider trailer. We've got the Session, which it was a kickstarted skateboarding game.
Everyone wanted Skate 4, and they didn't get it.
Then we got an indie reel. Then the next big news, Capcom announced Devil May Cry 5.
Yeah.
With three playable protagonists, you will be able to play as Dante, Nero, and Virgil. After that, we got Battletoads was announced.
That was pretty cool.
But it was like a nothing announcement. It was like, here's an image.
Yeah.
Bandai announced Jump Force, which made every weeaboo in the world cream their pants.
Oh my god, the video of Naruto Rasenganing Frieza was very cool.
Yeah, it was.
And I mean, very cool.
It was redonk, son. Square Enix showed off Just Cause 4. We got a really meaty look at Dying Light 2, which I thought looked amazing.
I was very shocked, very pleasantly surprised, because I had just finished replaying Dying Light 1. So that was very exciting.
And finally, we got an indie game called Tunic, which was in like an isometric adventure game. Cuphead got DLC announced. Then Xbox announced that their next system is called codename Scarlet. So whatever the Xbox version of the PS5 is going to be Scarlet, just like Scorpio was the 1X. We got three, count them, 1, 2, 3 Gears of War games.
Yeah, one with Pops, one with
Funko Pops, which we all laughed at, but you know what? Funko is poised to be like, do games in the same way Lego does games, and just tap into some of the biggest properties ever. And then, yeah, like Chris said, there was a PC tactics game, XCOM style. And finally, a true, honest-to-God sequel, Gears 5, featuring the first playable female protagonist as a lead, which immediately caused the internet to #NotMyGears. Because, of course, they did.
But who could possibly care about Gears?
Why?
And they ended with the trailer for Cyberpunk 2077.
Which was very, very good.
Now, Chris.
A lot about Cyberpunk.
Yes.
Moving on to the world of Bethesda.
Okay.
I'm going to start going through these a little quicker so I can actually give like breakdowns of what I played and stuff.
Do it.
But if you guys had like a particular reaction to any of these announcements, stop me.
Yes.
I will not be talking about Elder Scrolls 6.
What? What game?
Yeah, exactly, because there is no game yet.
Uh-huh.
To be fair, he just said an announcement, not a game.
It's true.
All right, go.
You know, real quick about that Elder Scrolls thing, what's hilarious is it was using a Skyrim song and Skyrim imagery, but then they just put Elder Scrolls 6 on it because they literally have nothing. Josh.
I was trying to text you, and I know the phones were just very hard to get messages through. And I tried to text you like three different ways, like, did you fucking lose? All I saw was that image, and I was like, did someone shop that?
Honestly, Matt, it felt like they hurried up and made that just to...
To spite me?
Yes. Like, they watched the show, and they were like, what if we just slapped together some fucking Elder Scrolls 6?
I actually have a theory of why they announced Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6 the way they did. And I think it has to do with the fact that Bethesda will probably not have a conference next year. So they wanted to have it known that they're working on those two games. Because they announced that both of them are next-gen games. They will not be coming.
They had a really big conference this year, and it was really enjoyable.
Yeah, we got Rage 2 gameplay.
Rage 2 looks very exciting.
Elder Scrolls Legends, their card game, is coming to consoles. Doom got a sequel called Doom Eternal. It's looking like an open world game.
Yeah, that looks crazy.
Doom 2016 was super good, so I'm really happy it's getting a sequel.
Very excited.
Speaking of super good, Wolfenstein is getting a new game called Youngblood. It takes place in the 80s, and you play as BJ's twin daughters.
Can we just have a moment to absorb the fact that we're talking about a great Doom and Wolfenstein game?
Oh, yeah.
2018?
Oh, man.
Close to those?
You want to talk about something only 90s kids will understand? I don't think any person born after 2000 understands this.
And yeah. I point out that I love that the creator of Wolfenstein came out, or the producer on the new one came out and was and said, like, and it, he announced that you're going to play as two females, and he said it's part of our ongoing journey to fuck, have all the Nazis fuck off.
Yeah.
That was great. That was my happy moment of the conference.
Oh, my God. So good.
So, yeah, Fallout Shelter is coming to PS4 and Switch. Prey is getting a bunch of DLC. We got Skyrim, the very special edition on Alexa, which ended up being a real thing.
That was enjoyable. That was really enjoyable.
Elder Scrolls Blades, a mobile RPG. Then we got a big look at Fallout 76.
I'm counting two Elder Scrolls games already.
What?
I'm counting two Elder Scrolls games already. The Alexa thing is real, so, you know.
Oh, my God. And then we got Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6 as nothing more than just images, because Starfield, they said, is coming out first, and it just entered pre-production. So we're not getting that game until 2021 or 2020 at the earliest. And then 6 is probably a couple years after that, because they're not working on that until after Starfield.
Oh, well.
So.
That's just weird.
Which is going to be weird, because if that's true, then that means we went an entire console generation without a new Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, that is weird.
Also, I'll be 40, so I don't even give a shit about those games.
Yeah.
So the next day, we had a whole smorgasbord of conferences. There was one for Limited Run Games. There was one for Square Enix. There was one for Devolver Digital. And then there was the big ones for Ubisoft and Sony.
So, wait, we have to talk about Devolver Digital, because they announced Metal Wolf Chaos XD, and it's about time we got a robot fighting president.
If you don't know,
Metal Wolf Chaos is a very Japanese game about the president of the United States who pilots a mech and takes back the country from the vice president, who also has a mech but is evil. It's fucking awesome. It's so great, and I'm so happy. It came out on the original Xbox in Japan, and I guess they're finally bringing it to America, where it belongs.
America. Yeah, it's absolutely insane.
They should not give Fearless Leader any ideas.
No, but you should watch the trailer, because that's the president I'm voting for next year.
All the respect for my president.
Okay. Square Enix was kind of nothing.
Square Enix was a whole hot look. Look, Square Enix's conference would have been a lot better if Microsoft hadn't been before it, because Square Enix, all of their announcements were on Microsoft stage. The Kingdom Hearts trailer, the Just Cause 4 gameplay, Captain Awesome, Tomb Raider, all of those games debuted on Microsoft stage, and it really kind of cut into the impact that they had on their own, because everyone thought when Square Enix announced that they were having a conference, the last time they did it, they actually had stuff to talk about. So we were expecting, like, to get gameplay of Kingdom Hearts 3, some new stuff. We were expecting first look at their Marvel Avengers game. We thought we might get whatever their new Final Fantasy project is, maybe a look at Final Fantasy VII Remake, but we got nothing.
They
announced two new games. Babylon's Fall, their next collaboration with Platinum, so the team that made Nier Automata.
Yeah.
And The Quiet Man, which looks like the bouncer from the PS2 era. But like a new version.
Yeah, but there's also two things that we also got. We also got the crossover event with 14 in Monster Hunter World.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and we also have a release date, tentatively, for Kingdom Hearts.
January.
Allegedly.
Right now, that's the release date. Good luck actually getting it.
I also want to point out they announced the demo of Octopath Traveler was available that day.
Yes,
the demo. That's a good fucking demo.
With the progress carrying over.
That's a really good demo. You guys should play Octopath Traveler if you get the chance, because it's great.
Is that that's only on the Switch, correct?
Yes.
Afraid so.
That sucks.
Get a Switch, Josh. Switch it up.
Switch it up.
I'm at the age where only one console is going to work. Yeah, I can't do two. It's like
all right. Moving on to Ubisoft. They open with Beyond Good and Evil 2, showing off a new CG trailer, a little alpha footage, character customization, and then they showed Jade will be part of the game. So that's a plus.
Which is really awesome.
Division 2 got a new gameplay trailer. It's going to come with all the DLC for it will be free. They announced a new Trials game, that puzzle motorcycle game that they love so much. Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle Donkey Kong DLC got a release date. We got gameplay footage of their Skull and Bones pirate ship game. Then we got their big thing was Assassin's Creed Odyssey with a bunch of gameplay. But what was crazy is that there was no like one more thing game like they've had where they debuted like Watch Dogs, where they debuted Assassin's Creed Origins, where they debuted like Ghost Recon, where they always like in the show with a big new reveal. We did not get that this year. We all expected the three dots of Sam Fisher to pop up, but he did not. Now, I did hear that Splinter Cell is real from my friends in the industry. Splinter Cell is being made, but it's so far out at this point, it might actually be a next-gen game.
Which is a bummer, but, you know, I kind of got my hopes up for it, and it didn't show, and Ubisoft was just kind of meh as a result of the conference, because they didn't really wow me with anything.
Yeah, it was Ubisoft's usually one of the strongest, and this show just was not a very strong one for them.
No.
But the day ended with PlayStation's conference, which although the format was not great if you were not there in person, the games shown were very strong and kind of unlike Microsoft's, which had like a lot of games, but very few reasons to buy an Xbox to play them. I felt Sony's conference made a very compelling argument for why you should buy a PlayStation because almost all the games shown were exclusive in some fashion.
Yeah, it was weird because Sony went very experimental with their conference. And I texted you because I figured you were there. And on video, it looked very awkward. You know, every stream that was watching it was kind of like, what the fuck is going on? This is so stupid. And it really took out the rhythm. But when they focused on the games themselves were excellent.
Yeah, I thought the conference actually went off really well. I liked the style of it. I like.
Here's the thing. The only thing people hate about the conference was that 10-minute intermission where they moved from the Last of Us church to the actual stadium. And I think the problem was they really didn't have anything to fill that gap. So they had like the people talking and it kind of killed the momentum because you start off so strong with that like banjo performance and then the first look at Last of Us 2 gameplay, which was amazing looking and probably the most realistic kiss ever made in a video game. Like that was some impressive tech.
That was very good. Because that's usually the only problematic area.
Yeah. They can never get the kisses look so awkward all the time.
On top of teeth is always going to be like the neck. That's the last hurdle to, because there's too many muscles in our mouths for them to have mastered quickly. And then the kiss is two of those going together. They kill it. Like, they might have actually hurdled that, you know? And that's really impressive.
But so after that, they kind of, like, had to kill some time. So they had, then people come out and be like, yeah, God of War is getting a new game plus mode. Here's a trailer for Destiny 2. PlayStation Plus members are getting Black Ops 3 for free. And then they finally like cut to the game, the conference again. And then from that point on, I think it went out without a hitch. Wouldn't you agree, Chris?
Yeah. Watching it once it got into the stadium, it became a conference.
Right.
And it worked really well. The Last of Us was, I mean, let's get it out of the way. The gameplay looked really good. It looked so good that it almost looked completely fake. Just how smoothly she was moving and throwing things.
Yeah.
But once they got inside and we got visions of Ghost of Tsushima and Death Stranding and Spider-Man, it was like a real conference, and the extended time they spent on each game was well spent.
And that's what I loved, was that especially for Last of Us, Death Stranding, and Ghost of Tsushima, this was the show where we were finally going to see what they looked like in-game. And outside of Death Stranding, which wasn't a gameplay demo, but was shot actually in-engine for once, and at least we got a feel for what the game was, we finally got to see what these games were about, because we knew nothing about Ghost of Tsushima.
Hold on, let's go back to Death Stranding real quick.
Yeah.
Did you even understand what was going on?
You get a feel for what the game's going to be about in the sense of the shots of the very wide open emptiness and the expanse. Like, you get a sense of the isolation feel that you're going to get, and you can kind of, you don't know what the game's about yet. You don't actually know what we're doing, but you get a feel for the vibe he's going for. And I think that was the first time I got a better feel for the game than any of the trailers beforehand.
I'm totally down about this game. It's just, it's strangely uncomfortable.
It's an enigma.
I will say that I am at the same time have less questions and more questions about Death Stranding.
Yeah.
It's incredible, because I feel like I watched that trailer and I was like, okay, I get it. I don't get it anymore. What's going on?
So are the baby is going to be used to detect the shadow creatures?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
But why not? You're moving on to Ghost, and that game is so beautiful.
It's so pretty. I love the one-on-one duels. I got very strong Bushido Blade vibes. If you noticed, there were no health bars.
Yeah.
All of the combat felt very like, parry, if you can get under the defense, it's one-hit kills. And that scene where the fire arrows start lighting the leaves on fire.
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, my God. Or yeah, that moment where you stealth take out, like, chain combo.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Oh.
Man, it's gonna be really impressive when we finally get our hands on it.
Chris, I know my favorite game of the show was when Rick and Morty creators announced Trover Saves the Universe. Am I right?
Yeah. That sure is a game.
I will say, though, you know what actually was a huge surprise and blew everyone away was the first look at Resident Evil 2 Remake?
Oh, my God, yes.
But also, for me, from the creators of Max Payne, Alan Wake, and Quantum Break was Control.
Oh,
a game that looked like the spiritual successor to PsyOps from the PS2, where she's moving around and using all kinds of telekinetic attacks and stuff. That was another game I got a behind-the-scenes demo with, and that was another one I walked away incredibly impressed by.
Yeah, Control looked retardedly good.
It looked redonkadonk. Then Josh got his joy with Neo 2.
I know. It was awesome.
And we ended the show with a really great look at Spider-Man, even though it's the one coming out soonest. I really loved the gameplay segment they showed.
Yeah, it was a very deep dive into it.
It was really nice. The movement, it looks really, really amazing.
I will say right off the bat, Cyberpunk was the best behind-the-scenes demo, but Spider-Man was the best playable demo at E3.
And you got to play it, right?
Yes, I did.
How enjoyable is it?
Let me put it to you this way. The web-slinging and traversal around the city is so good, they forcibly told me I had to progress the demo instead of just traveling around the city. And you have to go to the objective. And I'm like, but I just – because you can – you swing with one button, you hold on, you'll swing, and then you release and you swing, but then if you press the trigger buttons together, you'll yank yourself forward to gain momentum. And if you hold another button, remember how in Watch Dogs, if you held a button, you would automatically vault over stuff?
Yeah.
It's the same thing while you web sling. You'll like run up walls, run alongside, flip over things, flip through obstacle. Oh, it just felt so good. And the combat, you face more enemies at a time than you ever did in Batman, and everything feels so vertical and free-flowing. You can take out every enemy in the room without ever touching the ground.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
And I also like the slow reveal of the villains.
Yes.
in the trailer, which was really, really cool. You get Electro, you get Scorpion, and it's just like
Electro, Scorpion, Vulture, Rhino.
Yeah.
It was the only hope we get Mysterio.
Yeah, the only oddball was Mr. Negative, who seems extremely out of place.
Oh, yeah.
That's going towards Sinister Six in the game. I didn't catch
that. Oh, yeah. I think it's a Sinister Six in the game. And then they reveal someone at the end that Peter recognizes. It's probably going to be like Green Goblin or...
Yeah, or Harry's Green Goblin.
Yeah, or Kingpin.
I would love
it's predictable
Kingpin arrival. Yeah.
But, you know...
It's a very good demo.
Or another Spider-Man.
Oh,
it's Carnage.
Danielle. No, the clone.
So I have a question.
Spider-Verse.
Okay. Yeah.
What up, fam?
No, so do you want to... So now that we're done with all the conferences, do you want to have me talk about the actual games I played?
Yeah,
sure.
Sure, we're not talking about Nintendo?
Oh, right. Well, here's the thing. Nintendo showed off a couple new games, like a mech combat game and stuff, but it was mostly a Smash Direct. It didn't have any Bayonetta. We didn't get any Metroid in any way, shape, or form. But Smash Brothers Ultimate is going to be a massive game.
But, you know, if you love Smash, they've got 30 minutes to tell you about everything they've done.
How many characters? It's like 430
characters. Every character.
Yeah, every character.
All of every character ever, literally. And then, of course, we got Ridley, which was a huge geek moment. I was very happy about that.
That was cool.
Because people have been begging for Ridley since Melee. They're like, we need a second Metroid character. And they always said, no, he can't be done. He's too big of a character. And then they actually put him in there. And that made me – that was good.
That's awesome.
Let's see. So, yeah, I'm going to go down the list from 10 to 1. For my best games of E3. And it's a mix of playable and not playable. Sound good?
All right.
Number 10, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Because here's the thing. It may not be a huge step or evolution from Rise of the Tomb Raider, but Rise of the Tomb Raider was a lot of fun. And the stuff that they've added into Shadow is really welcome. And I just think it's going to be a really good game. And with no more Uncharted's coming out, there's really no game like that anymore. So I think Shadow's going to do very well.
I have liked all the Tomb Raider games that have come out for this generation. So.
Oh, you'll like Shadow. It's easily the best of the three so far from what I've played.
I'm very excited.
Beyond that, next up was Control. Number 9 is Control. Man, when you see like it's like playing through a dream from Inception. Because the house itself warps and shifts like the buildings and everything do. But you have also have these telekinetic powers, and it's got a trippy story. Like the house is alive. Think of it, Chris. It's the House of Mysteries as a video game.
I like that.
And your character has all these kind of powers. So we saw telekinesis. We saw a shield ability. She can hover at will. There's all at one point, I believe, we saw Possession. It was a very good demo, and it looked really damn good. I also got some Half-Life 2 vibes from it, from the way the story was presented. Number 8 was Tetris Effect for PlayStation VR, or just regular PlayStation, from the creator of Lumines. Like, it's Tetris, but it's the presentation and the music that just gets you so entrenched. And what's the word I'm looking for? Enchanted? No.
Entranced.
Yeah, entranced. That's what I'm looking for. Damn, it was good. Number 7 was Dragon Quest XI. Oh, man, this game is good. And the change-ups to the battle system, I think, make it feel a lot less archaic than other Dragon Quest games. But, man, if you have a PlayStation 4, you need to get on this.
It's coming out at a bad time, though.
It comes out before Spider-Man, which is good.
But comes out by 3 days.
Start of September.
I gotta pick one game for this fall-winter run.
I will say Spider-Man's the better game, but Dragon Quest will last you longer.
Yeah.
And
if I'm a betting man, Spider-Man will be on sale for Black Friday. Dragon Quest, probably not. But yeah. Anyway, number six is Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I was sending Chris screenshots and video of this because they actually let me do that. God, this game is pretty.
Yeah,
it was really running on consoles. It wasn't running on a high-end PC, I asked. It was running on consoles. The Eagle is back. You can play the whole game as a girl or a boy. And let me tell you, you're going to want to pick the girl because Sandra is a much better character.
Awesome.
She is delightful. Also, I tried to fight a bear that was 8 levels higher than me, and I got my shit wrecked. The guy was like, "Are you sure you want to play? You fight that bear? He's way higher than you." I'm like, "I got this." I did not have it.
No, you don't have it at all.
Actually, he was really impressed. I lasted a long time, and I was getting a lot of hits in. The problem is my hits were doing nothing, and then I got swiped once and got laid out. But then they got the demo shifted to the new mechanic, which are these giant army-on-army battles. And in one of the moments, you team up with the Spartans and fight the what are the guys that start with P? P-Y?
The Persians? The Polynesians?
No. I don't know. Hold on.
The
Tigers? I don't know. I don't even know, man. Pythians? Yeah, Pythians.
Okay.
Anyway, it was the two armies. And the battles change, and you have to, like, hunt down the lieutenants and whittle down their forces, and you have all these different abilities. Oh, it was really good. Number five was Indivisible, the RPG coming out that's kind of like the spiritual successor to Valkyrie Profile.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. It's all hand-drawn animation. There are over 40 different playable characters to build your party from, and the overworld map plays like a Metroidvania, but the battle system is classic like Valkyrie Profile turn-based stuff.
That's cool.
It was super good. Number four is Phantom Doctrine, which put this shit on your list. It's right up there with a Disco Elysium, which would be number one if it was at E3, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
So it can't be. Phantom Doctrine is the XCOM-style game merged with Alpha Protocol. It's a Cold War era spy tactical RPG. Oh, man. Oh, so good. I spent 30 minutes on that demo and barely got through the tutorial. There's so much to that game. Number three is Cyberpunk, which was only at number three because it wasn't playable while the other two were. And we already talked about that ad nauseum.
Yeah.
Number two is Mega Man 11. I am so happy to say Mega Man 11, they only had Block Man's stage available, but it was the full stage from start to boss.
Oh, good.
It is everything Mighty Number 9 wasn't.
Oh, awesome.
It feels like the true evolution of the Mega Man formula. And the new gear mechanics where you can overclock Mega Man in two different ways. One, overclock his arm cannon and rapid fire burst and do a ton of damage in a short period of time. Or you can overclock his speed, and it's basically bullet time for Mega Man.
Oh, killer.
But if you do it too much, you overload and you can't jump, slide, or shoot for a long, like a good chunk of time. So it's a risk reward factor, but certain parts of the game require it. So like there's this one part where you're being chased by this swirling spikes and you have to get through these mazes of blocks, and you can't do it unless you utilize the time mechanic. Or there's ones where blocks are falling at way too fast of a rate to normally jump through, and you have to use it. Stuff like that. But you have to use it strategically, and it never felt overpowered. It just felt like a new mechanic, like the slide or the charge buster. It felt good.
Awesome.
And the boss fights are amazing. They're dynamic. They shift. But once again, once you realize the pattern, everything feels real good. It was everything I was hoping for.
Let's hope
that comes out on my birthday.
I was going to say, let's hope for a new Mega Man. If this does well, let's hope they can.
I'm hoping. And finally, number one is Spider-Man.
Awesome.
It's just that good. It's when this game comes out, all the sales records God of War hit are going to be shattered immediately. Because Spider-Man is that kind of property that appeals to everyone. It's going to do gangbusters.
Awesome.
I'm so excited. I played a lot of other games, but those are my top ones. So like Division 2 is actually really good, but it's a lot like Destiny 2. It doesn't do much different to make it a sequel. It just feels like a glorified expansion. I played a bunch of different VR games. I really loved Beat Saber, the one that uses the lightsabers, basically. I played a shooting VR game called Firewall. It's a 4-on-4 multiplayer shooter. It actually worked really well in VR. What else did I play? It's all blurring together now. I played a bunch of Sega games. I played the new Yakuza that's coming out soon, Kiwami 2. I played Fist of the North Star's new game, which is basically Yakuza with a Fist of the North Star in over it. At Microsoft, I played Ori. I played Forza Horizon 4. Kingdom Hearts 3 was playable, but I didn't even try and fuck with that line. I was like, I'm playing Dragon Quest. I'm out. Like, seriously, that line. I took pictures. The line at all points was 3+ hours. And I can't imagine people that paid $1,000 to go to E3 and waited 3+ hours to play a 10-minute Kingdom Hearts demo. I'm like, nah, fam, that ain't me. Let's see, Square Enix had a ton of games. Ubisoft had a ton of games. Bethesda's lines were insane, but they didn't really have anything playable. Nintendo only had Smash Brothers and Pokemon Let's Go playable. Sony had a behind-the-scenes demo of Days Gone. Dreams was playable. Their upcoming, like, smaller game, Concrete Genie, was playable. It was all kinds of stuff. It was awesome. It was a good E3. It was a huge experience, and I loved it.
You got to live the dream we've been talking about since 2008.
Oh, Chris, I forgot. I can't believe I never told you. I met Iga, Mr. Castlevania.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah, his Bloodstained was being published by the same company that's publishing Control and Indivisible, 505 Games. Mm-hmm. So Iga was there to do interviews and stuff. I didn't have an interview lined up with him, but I still got to meet him. He had his fucking cowboy hat on. It was awesome.
He's a fucking cool dude.
His translator was nice enough to translate my conversation with him, but I thought you'd appreciate that as Mr. Castlevania over here. And I know Kogasu and Chet is probably actually a bigger Castlevania fan than you.
I agree with that.
And I know he'll appreciate it. So, Castlevania. Bloodstained's going to be baller.
Yes, it is.
I thought it was Argyle. I don't know.
Oh, you want to know one good thing, Chris? Is We Happy Few has been completely overhauled.
Yes, I was about to say it looked completely different in demo than it did.
It now actually plays more like the BioShock game we always hoped it would.
Yes, I've said multiple times the beta was the best and worst thing that could have happened to it.
Yeah, which is good. I'm glad that it made the changes needed. So, yeah, that's my E3. It was amazing. I got to go to after parties and I met Sean Layden, of PlayStation's president. Met him. He was super nice. They had an entire concert that was played through the game Dreams. They orchestrated the entire thing through the game. I thought that was really impressive. Yeah, man, it was just good times. You should all try and make it.
Well, maybe one year.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I got.
Okay.
I think this has been an amazing year for shitting all over women haters.
Yeah, keep doing it.
Oh man, like I made a list of all of the games that debuted at E3 that featured a female protagonist.
Uh-huh.
Let me see. Let me scroll down my extensive notes. Where the hell is it? Yeah, so Gears of War 5. Wolfenstein Youngblood counts twice because you get to play as two.
Yeah.
Last of Us with Ellie as the playable character. Battlefield 5 with their female on the cover. Assassin's Creed for the first time he plays a female the entire game. Control, Remedy's new game, he plays a female. Beyond Good and Evil 2, Tomb Raider, and a bunch of other ones I forgot to write down, like Indivisible, the main character is a female. But it's just the big ones are stuff like Gears of War, like switching over. and all these people being like, hey, all you incels out there, go suck a dick.
Basically, yeah.
It's good. And people act like it's a huge thing, but you know what? There's still so many other games that don't. So I don't know why you're complaining, guys. Calm down.
Keep complaining.
Go fuck off.
I'm sorry your feelings get hurt by having to use empathy.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Should complain harder.
Should we do a whole episode just on all the fuckers?
No.
Can we do a sidebar episode?
Sure. You can.
Go for it. But anyway, that's all I got.
Yeah, that's about it for this week. I mean, we there were comics and, you know, Disney and stuff, but whatever. We can deal with that later.
I'm going to end this off. Let me end this off, guys.
No. I have to finish doing some other stuff. We'll be back next week.
Wait, what does he want to end it off on?
I don't know. I can't be good, whatever it is.
It can't be. I don't like it. What is it? What is it, Josh?
What is it?
I was just going to show Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah, definitely. We're definitely not then. But we'll be back next week.
It's been a full year since Josh lost the last bet, and he never paid me.
Well, now you're even.
We're even.
That's bull. I want my money, Josh.
No, it doesn't work like that. Now you're even. Accept it.
And plus, your wedding's coming up, so you need to hold on.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You'll get your money.
Yeah, and you'll get all kind of Elder Scrolls shit, so don't worry.
Bye, guys.
We'll be back next week at the usual time with actual comics and such.
Indeed. Peace.
All right. So, y'all have a good night. See you then.
Later.